Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is The Lois Effect. My name is Elisa.
My name is Liz. Oh, technical difficulties, Mercury retrograde. We're here. We're fine. Okay.
So I'm calling in on my phone. I'm running this whole show from my phone, so I do not have access to the chat room.
Okay.
I've tried my computer, and it took me a while to just even dial in from my phone. So we'll see how it goes.
We'll see what happens. and if you need to bring anything to our attention, you can give us a call at 718-664-9124. That's the call-in number. Press 1 to raise your hand. Or you can send an email, which I'll check from my end. You can send an email in real time to loablend@gmail.com. If you need to get our attention directly, call in or send an email, and we'll do our best to manage. And that's that.
Yeah, I don't see how I can get into chat, but
no, it's okay.
Let's see if it'll let me do it.
Okay, let's see. And if not, all good.
Yeah, so, not.
No, it's all right. Listen,
I'm looking at it,
we're just
I'm like, ooh.
No, don't just. You know what? Yeah, step back. Totally fine. But you know what? Good for you, and we appreciate you. You know, you made it possible for us for every time to be on the air. So, thank you very, very much. So, anyway, when we were doing the show the last time, I asked you about certain aspects of Lois. I asked you about cranial sacral therapy. You said that she didn't do it, but somebody very close to her, I think named Marie, did that, because I was feeling a lot of these energies coming in. And, you know, Buddha consciousness, all of that. And what's very interesting, so it's just been like this journey of what's going on in waking life and then what's going on in non-waking life or interdimensional life, because I don't know how else to label it. But, you know, no sooner do you get one epiphany and so much clarity before that even gets a chance to land, some brand new situation shows up because it can. Yes. So I'm so glad that during these times of slowing down and reflection and lockdown, that so much that had been buried and unhealed, particularly so much unresolved guilt, I've been able to identify and address and embrace and move through. And that has been literally realizations that have been brand new. And the concept of true love means means not asking true love asks nothing, right? All these realizations. Okay, and I don't know what was going on, but my younger son was hanging out with his girlfriend. She's the only friend of his that I allow in the house during these times. So she was hanging out, and then he was having a conversation with his father, and then he walks into my room. He's on the phone. And he's like, "Where's my adoption papers?" I'm like, "Oh, here we go."
Oh.
Yeah, here we go. And so I knew, thank goodness mom's a psychic, I knew where this was going. And I've known ever since he was a newborn that one day we would have this reckoning or this crisis of awareness or what have you. So his whole life, I've been very open about the adoption. Obviously, he's black, we're not. And very transparent about everything. And what I would say to him, especially when he was much younger, like, let me do my job, and when you're 18, I'll go look for them. So he's almost 16, he'll be 16 in 4 months, the end of June. And apparently, and I don't know why or how it came up, apparently when he was on the phone with his father, and I guess his father was being questioned about the adoption, his father said, oh, I think there might have been a name on the adoption papers. Not really, but thanks, Dad. So thanks for the setup. So he comes in. He's very upset. Where are the adoption papers? I'm like, wait. There are really no papers. We go into his bedroom. His girlfriend's there. He's still on the phone with his father. I'm like, can you get off the phone so I can talk to you, whatever. And this really broke my heart, because then I said, I'm holding him, and I said, there really aren't, there are papers that legally say that you're our son. There's also a birth certificate, which states the hospital that you're born, but when the adoption is official, you get a new birth certificate, and the parents are your adoptive parents on a birth certificate.
Mm.
Even though I did not, it's deep. I think
wow.
It's a little, yeah, it's deep, but that's how it works, right? So I had to explain to him that it's up to the birth mother to decide whether the adoption will be open or closed. Open meaning they could be open communication for as long as both parties agree to that. There's a transparency there. Or the birth mother chooses it to be closed, meaning no contact. So his birth mother chose for it to be closed. She didn't even pick us as a family or anything. I think she was so distraught. She had two other kids, whatever. I know next to nothing about that side of things. But the social worker selected us and thought we were a good match and made it happen. And the social worker was the one, on my request, to ask the nurses if they knew if the baby was referred to by name, and one of the nurses said Jeremiah. And that's how he got, that's why I stuck to honor his birth mother, right?
Oh, okay.
So I had to say to him, well, honey, she was so distraught that she just chose for it to be closed. My heart, when I saw his face, the rejection that I could see flash through his, and I said, it has nothing to do with you. So anyway, a whole rabbit hole of that and getting him stable. And then I called his father, and I kept that to be a very short conversation. But I have to say, when we had that show with the caller, with the mask and all of that stuff, and I knew not to engage and to just let it happen and hold space for that. So all these things that could have triggered the hell out of me, this man was saying, and also saying, to make sure that I do everything that I can to, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, make sure you do everything that you can to make sure that he's da-da-da. And I don't know what I said, but I said, you're a very good father. It's good that he has you. take care, and I hung up. I wasn't going to engage in being told what I need to do as a mother. Hello, she's been a single mom for several years now. Anyway, so I just put that over there. And he's, my son is rattled. I need to find you a therapist that specializes in this, who's preferably black, who has experience with specializing with adoption, trauma, transracial adoption. You have to please promise me that you'll have at least one session, because I have gone from therapist to therapist, and he refuses to go. And this has been since he's 12. Very, very, very resistant to that. And because it is a closed adoption, I do remember 15 years ago, over 15 years ago, seeing a document that was had identifying information that was blacked out with a Sharpie, except not all the information was thoroughly covered. So burrowed in my brain are a couple of first names and one last name. So I did a bunch of research late last night. I feel like I got hit by a truck. I can't tell you how tired I am right now. Yeah. And I am going to continue that. I don't know if I need to, you know, private investigate. I don't know what I need to do, but you know what? I'm glad that if this is going to happen or this is happening, I'm glad it's happening during Corona.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
Not like in the middle of, right, and I'm glad that I wasn't, you know, I wasn't out messing around in these streets like that. I'm home. I was home, you know, devoted, dedicated, dealing with it, and I've already have taken initial steps late last night, and yeah, now I know what I need to focus on, but I got to get him support, and I have to find his family, his biological family. Yeah, so there you go. It's like, wow, I just came through all this conclusion about all this trapped grief. I didn't even know I had. Oh, and now let's deal with this. Yay!
Goodness.
Oh, but isn't that always how it works?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Deep. Yeah, my heart aches for him. But I knew. I said, one day, we're going to have to find his family. You know, everything. I'm kind of off by like 2 years with a bunch of things. I've been off by, but you know, it's not about linear time.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's, you know, I'm trying to look at a bigger picture and you know, you're right. I mean, there's, if we didn't have this whole thing happening in the world, you know, so many, you would not have had any time. I mean,
for any
you
of
really
this,
wouldn't.
For any of this, for any of the growth and the realization and then handling this, forget about it. It would have been such a burden. Now it's like, no, it's my pleasure. This is love.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts because he's hurting, but this is love. Right. Yeah. So, to be continued.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, my God.
Wow. And I'm just trying to remember, you know, you talked about the trapped grief.
Yeah.
And this was at, like, the base of your, the head. The back of your head?
Mm-hmm. The cranial.
Was that
right.
Where it was? Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so then, after all of that, I was, Mama needed a drink. I poured myself a glass of rosé. I'm like, Mama needs a drink. And I was numb. I was sad. I was shook. I was like, okay, you know, okay, you got to suit up. Okay, this is like, good that you got all that other stuff out of your system to get ready to you know, be fearless and, you know, these next pursuits. And fortunately, I was so exhausted. And then I felt the energies show up again. But this time, it was more like of the angelic realm. And I thought, oh, that's interesting.
Right.
That's right. Interesting. Yeah. That's very interesting. And more of the same of like the cranial sacral and moving about and all of that. And, yeah, I slept deeply. And I didn't want to wake up. I had my, you know, I have my phone for when we do the show. I have the alarm mm-hmm. set for show days to make sure. And thank goodness I did. But if I was able to sleep through everything, I would have. Yeah, I it's just that exhaustion. Yeah. So I'll be mm-hmm. moving very slow today as I start investigating how to find support that he needs and how to take steps to find a bio family from a closed adoption. I know people do it, so I just have to figure it out.
Wow.
But I, yeah. Yeah. Poor little guy. Mm. Yeah. That just, the look in his, you know, at his eyes where he's like, well, she never even wanted to be in touch with me. I'm like, no, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. And then I told him the story that when he was two, I got a call from his caseworker saying that his birth mother wanted pictures. So I wrote her a letter and I sent pictures because she wanted closure.
Oh.
So I know this woman, and I know her first name, that this woman has probably been tormented ever since she knew she was going to give this baby up for adoption.
Mm.
How could she not be?
Right.
Yeah, and I am not threatened at all. When he was a baby, that shook me. I'm not going to lie. When he was two, I'm like, don't take him away, you know, because you get,
sure,
you're irrational. But now, if anything, I'm like, you can have him, bye. No, I'm kidding.
Oh. Right. But, no. Yeah.
Right. Okay. He's all yours. Right. Going on vacation. Bye. I'm out.
But yeah, you know, that's part of, you know, that need to understand who you are. And I have a cousin, who figured out, you know, who knew, I think who always knew that she, you know, her, it was not, her birth father was not the father she considered as her father as she grew up with. So she, I think when the whole DNA testing was happening, just, you know, with ancestry or whatever, it really spurred her on. Well, even before that, it spurred her on to learn more about who her birth father was. And so she, you know, I think my aunt was still alive when she was still doing all, you know, trying to do her research. And she, you know, she found her birth father. And,
oh, wow.
And they got reconnected. They're on the West Coast. And so she now has like this whole second family that she,
that's what I want for him, yeah,
in contact with.
Yeah.
And, you know, so she got more of what was going on back then. And it's another, interestingly, it's another Filipino family. So mm-hmm. she's got tons of,
wow, that's beautiful.
I guess, you know, like half brothers and sisters. I actually don't know the whole, you know, everybody. But I remember her going on that journey, and you know, she's very determined. So she will track it down, and she'll do her research, and so she at least got to see and meet and have some type of relationship with her birth father, and before he passed away, because he ended up, you know,
oh wow,
he ended up passing away as well within the last I don't know, it's been probably within the last 10 years. But she, you know, she was able to have that kind of closure for her, and to kind of put that portion of her life and what she understood it to be for so long, she had, was able to put that into a different perspective and a different light. And so, you know, like more to come, I think. And then, oh, and then it's probably disjointed because it's not, you know, she's had such a different adventure with figuring out more behind her parents. So then she found out she has you know, on her mother's side, you know, an added story. So she found out she has another half brother she
wow.
didn't know about.
Oh my
so
God.
There's a lot that, but and what's been interesting, like it's like these little bombs that you drop if you just say it that way, but as she dug deeper, and I think in this case this half brother had found her, or at least like I get these things. I have question marks within like the stuff on the connections I have on Ancestry DNA. I'm like, mm-hmm. These are like fourth cousins or whatever.
Right.
What? So I don't know how we're related. There are some people that are listed as fourth cousins that I'm like, that's my uncle, but somehow they're also fourth cousins.
Wow.
But for her, so she had someone contact her, and you know that whole curiosity of like, who is this person? Like to have that much DNA, and then to have it be such a beautiful story, and now so yet another person added to the family. So it's a whole new relationship. It's another branch of the family that has blossomed and it's deepened. And I think the coolest thing, it's partly because, you know, this is my uncle who is, you know, it's that Bangalore family. I mean, our family, it's pretty amazing. There's just an openness
your family's so beautiful.
You live on our street, come on in, you know, oh, you're related to us, oh, come on in. And it's like, stranger, doesn't matter. There's just a big, like a big heart love for people. So the, you know, these extended family members to me, something who have no connection other than like through marriage with my uncle. My uncle has been like, you are welcome here. You know, he's got this at least with the half brother. So this is before he and my aunt got together. There was this, you know, he knew. The thing is, he knew about this. He knew about this. This, I think, and in fact, he was trying to find him. He was trying to help his wife, you know, find where this baby ended up.
Wow.
So he was trying to do his part too, but he wasn't threatened by it. It was like, this is part of, you know, my wife's history, and he's been very I feel very consistent, like, no, this is our family, and
right.
And so I think that's just beautiful that he's at least always had that response. And it wasn't like a pride thing. Like, well, you know, you know, there was never, he never put out that kind of vibe. So that's why this extended family is like, oh, well, so you we got a new cousin. Okay. Like, all right.
I love it. But with Anna and her brother, that they learned of each other a few years ago.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Who made the contact? Did he contact her?
Yeah. So that's who I was talking about. It wasn't Anna, but it was her sister.
Her older sister. Oh, I understand.
Yeah.
Got it.
Now it makes sense. Yeah.
Right.
And so that's how it came about. So it was on the mother's side through through ancestry DNA through the mother's side.
And he
was trying to get in touch because he was trying to track things down. And of course, you know, you have to be a little wary of people who are contacting you, regardless. But you know, it's science.
Yeah, it is. And what's so cool about ancestry is that the Christmas before last, we did his DNA, and I do know that's one of the things I'm going to research later today, is they do have a registry for adoptees. And we were contacted, I think, twice, maybe three times since we put it up there by, like, fourth cousins or what have you, and I didn't really pay too much. I mean, I would respond to say, well, my son's adopted. We want to find out, But I'm going to go back into ancestry DNA as one of the ways for me to start investigating. Yeah. So I'm glad that we did the testing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that will open up. And the thing is that those you know, because as more people do this ancestry DNA stuff, your profile percentages will change. Like, mine's already changed again. Now they have more people who they can test against. Like, there are more people who will fit into a particular category. So when I first started and I first got results back, it was, you know, unsurprisingly, like 99% Filipino, like 1% Spanish, or, you know, 1%, you know, it was like 99%.
I remember 1%. You showed me the picture. I crack you up.
Right. And then, since then it's changed, that, you know, Filipino and then other has changed percentages. So it's still like in the upper 90s. I mean, if I go on right now, I remember looking at it recently because I've turned off a lot of the alerts on a lot of my apps because I don't want it eating up my battery. I don't need to know necessarily, but this has been so fascinating to me that when I look at what's been going on, I'm like, what is that? So I look at it and so it's now 96% in a particular, like, northern Philippines.
Wow.
A particular region. And then 2% southern Philippines, 1% Spain, 1% Ireland.
Oh.
And actually, now that I say that, I think the first time I got it was 99% Filipino, 1% Italian.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm like, Italian. So then then it started switching again. So then it went to Spain, and then it went to, there's a little bit that was going into like Southern Asia, including like India and,
oh girl, everywhere.
So it was getting every, and now Ireland is in there. So this is the first, you know, bit of like Northern Europe that I,
that's crazy.
Ireland. 1% Ireland. So they test with all these other regions of what, you know, what is in your DNA makeup, like, where does that fit? And so that's how they kind of parse that out. It's really fascinating. So it does change. I mean, I've got a cousin And I know she's a cousin. her mother is my dad's cousin.
Uh-huh.
But my aunt, I don't think she ever married this guy, but the father of my cousin is from the Middle East.
Oh.
So she's like half Filipino, half what, you know, Saudi Arabian? I'm not sure. So who knows? I mean, and so I see her. We're not co-linked through ancestor DNA officially, like through our trees. Mm-hmm. But she shows up, and I messaged her. I'm like, hey, you know, you're showing up on my ancestry DNA.
Wow.
But she hasn't checked in a few years. So she I don't think she has an official. She's done a full tree. Otherwise, you know, we probably would be linked because
right.
We definitely have a common ancestor.
Right.
You know, a few generations back. But it is fascinating. So there are ways, you know, your research, because you did that for him, that's going to open up a lot.
Yeah, I'm glad I already have it set up. Like, it's not something I have to initiate now. Like, it's been in there. So
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, so you just never know what you're going to be hit with. I was minding my own business watching some mindless TV show, and he walked in, where's the adoption papers? And like, oh, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Here
mm-hmm.
we go. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm just glad it's now. I'm just glad it's now because I can handle it with, I can handle it wholeheartedly. And not feel like, oh my God, how am I going to squeeze this in when I have so much else going on? And that's not the case now, because everything is so compressed. So
right. Well, it is an interesting theme. I'm, you know, I've got a couple of books that I've started reading. I haven't finished them. They're both nonfiction. Both, basically, you know, biographies. You know, autobiographical.
Uh-huh.
And so one is dealing with a woman who, you know, her parents got divorced her sophomore year of college, and it really threw her for a loop. They're Chinese, and
wow,
and so she's. You know, she went to school in the States, but she's from China and her parents live in China. So the adjustment, and she wasn't like flying back every single break, you know. But she's also big in traveling. But she's telling her story even before she moved over. But it's this idea of identity, like who am I? And where is home? That I think that is the name of the book. Is, you know, where's home?
Mm-hmm.
And so her sense of home was completely upended with that revelation of her parents divorcing. And it all happened when she was in school. And so everything that was going on, you know, with that relationship between her parents, like she kind of knew that there were issues, but didn't think it would take to that extreme. Which is an extreme, definitely for her, for being in that culture of China, where like, what do you mean you got divorced? And then not having support or family, wherever, you know, where she was in school, to help her. So she ended up, you know, writing this stuff, and it's been a really fascinating story. And I guess I haven't. She just published this book. I was on Indiegogo, whatever, you know. But she went to my college. She went to my university.
Oh, wow.
And I saw it. She had posted in the alumni section like last year. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah. So I supported. I sent some money in to help her publish this book. So I have a copy of it now. And so there's a story there in terms of figuring out who she is. And that, so she knows who her parents are, but that sense of home has changed for her. And that follows that journey. And then the other book is, I mentioned it on another show, where the guy who's traveling by bike, Scottish guy, he ends up adopting or rescuing this little kitten.
Yes, right, right.
In the mountains of Serbia, ends up in Serbia. And so he's sharing this really fun story. I mean, there's a lot of compassion in that, because it really changed who he was and who he thought, what he thought he needed to be doing in his life. He was a, you know, party guy. You know, he was just sort of in a rut. The way he described it, and I haven't finished that book either, but he described it as not having a purpose. But he knew that he needed to do something and figure out what that was. So again, this idea of identity and purpose, and what started out as an idea to just go on this travel, this tour of the world through by bike with a buddy of his, same buddy and friend of his that he was always hanging out with, but he said, you know, we realized, you know, he realized they were bad influences on each other. So whatever, you know, however they were acting back home, they thought, you know, they kind of took the first few months of this trip and they were sort of doing the same thing. It's just now they were in a different country. And he realized, you know, whatever the circumstances may be, his buddy decided he needed to go back home. And so while their plans have changed, then meeting, you know, rescuing this little kitten and having a purpose, like that sort of stuff, like taking care of animals, you know, and then also being more into the environment. A lot of that had weaved itself in and came to the forefront into this journey. And it's a beautiful story. I knew it was going to be a beautiful story, but it was interesting to read the background details of this, because he's now like he's in his early 30s. He started this a couple of years ago. And he knew that he needed a change. His life needed a change and a purpose. And so that's what this is about. And so again, this idea of home, and he's still traveling.
Right.
I mean, you know, he's still with this amazing animal, and it made, you know, of course it made me miss my animals, my pets.
I'm sure. I'm sure. Right.
But you know what? They serve a purpose.
Yeah.
And so these are fascinating stories. I think it speaks to that, this need for identity and purpose and belonging.
Oh my God. Yep. Identity, purpose, and belonging.
And
that really hits very close. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, my poor son, you know, he's not 16 yet. And, just feeling displaced, lost, like you said, not belonging. You know, what's the point? You know, he'll say things like, what's the point of life? And, you know, I don't want to live any, you know, and I'm like, is this teenage stuff or do I have to take you in? Is it, what lane are we in? And I talked to him just like that. What lane are we in? Do we need to
There's
go in
a lot
for
of
a psych evaluation?
That. That's very complex, yeah.
Do we have to go in? Is COVID, it's cold, do we have to do that? If we have to do that, let's get dressed and do it. Or this is how you're feeling right now, and we'll work through that together. Which is it? Yeah, so everything is so heightened, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't, I mean, as a parent, sometimes you just get so tired, you just want to brush everything, like, leave me alone, But now I know, it's okay, I need to be very hyper vigilant and in a very available space. In the wings. Yeah. And
wow, and the hit I just got when you were talking was that is why, you know, you and your connection to your guides,
mm-hmm.
That's why they
yep.
are making themselves known.
Absolutely.
Because
yep.
You can have, you can get that kind of, well, you can get support, like your mother's there.
Right.
But it's a different kind of, like, you know, it's not about, I just need to curl up and go to sleep, or, you know, it's so much deeper than
it's
that.
It's so deep. Yep. Yeah,
and
it all
so,
makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the way, a way to help you move forward is this spiritual support. Because
yep.
that's how deep it goes. And it and so it isn't
mm-hmm.
about even understanding, even the ancestry, like that kind of stuff is going to help. But it'll help him. But what will help you
that's
is
right.
going even deeper into.
And that's exactly what yep. And
yeah. Your sense
so
of purpose,
right.
yep. your sense of belonging. And so your embracing of your gifts
yep.
over the years as it's
yep.
increased more and more, and your understanding
right.
of it means that
right.
that resistance that you would initially put up, that most people would put up when it's
oh,
so
in the
different.
Beginning, yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
yep.
that's second nature for us. Like, I don't know what's going on. Let me just, because you can
now
ball
it's like,
up.
Okay,
like
thank
doing,
goodness
like you were
I'm
doing,
equipped. Yep.
Like you were doing over a decade ago, balling up and just like shutting everything out.
Right.
Because you just couldn't handle it for you.
Right.
And now look at where your right. sense of belonging is. Like, yeah, these are part of your, these are your people too.
Yeah, they're showing. Yeah, and it all made sense. I'm like, oh, no wonder you get you got, okay, that whole little piece about, you know, love is asking for nothing. Oh, that's cute. Oh, because of the, oh, and because now I got to deal with this. Oh, so all that trapped grief. Oh, I better let that go because I need space for the, okay. It all added up. It all added up. Where, you know, I felt like I was experiencing the angelic realm where I have before. I'm like, okay, I remember this. You know, the tunnel. I'm like, oh, there's the tunnel again. Yep, okay, I know what you're talking. Okay, I got you. Okay, thank you. So it's just referencing back to all of that so I can be well-equipped to do what I have to do. Like, it's like time to suit up. Like we don't have time for, you know, these petty little games. Like, okay, time to suit up. And this is something that I need to, you know, a path that I need to follow, and I need to deliver for my son.
Right.
And yeah. Yeah. So it all made so much sense just in within the past week. Like, oh, well, that's adorable. Thank you ever so. Yeah. 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 It's crazy. And thank goodness. But, you know, it's so interesting. The energies really started to get my attention when he was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
He was a little baby. I remember I was getting sessions with my friend who's a medium who was, I was so sick, and I did my very first channeling. He was in the car seat. That's how little he was.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was, you know, years before knowing you guys, and but maybe, you know, within a year after that is how Trey and I found each other, and then I was on Source Energy Radio, and then a year
right.
later met Anna, and then a year later, you know, now with you guys. So it's really from when he was a baby that that was part of the journey. So here we are now. He's evolving into a young man, and some aspects a very mature young man. He's clocking at almost 16, but everybody thinks he's 17.
Yeah, he does look a lot older. Yeah,
he looks
yeah.
and he acts a lot older too. You know, and I have to tell him, I said, "You're still 15. You're still a kid. You're still a kid." But there is a depth and a soulfulness to him, and a tremendous, beautiful sensitivity and intelligence. But he's still freaking 15, going on 16. So
right,
yeah. And at the time, you know, when he was like 12, 13, I'm like, let's just wait till you're 18, and then we'll find them. Whatever. Like I said, he goes, well, you kept saying 18. I said, I did that because you were so young at the time, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and what kills me is I overheard him saying to his father, well, the last time I was happy, I was 12, and then you guys started fighting. I wanted to jump out the window. I'm like, oh, God.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, that was like a double hook. Yeah. And, you know, it was very matter of fact for him. But then when I talked to him later, I said, I know you said that and you feel that way, but you have to understand. That was a toxic environment, and this is a peace-filled home. It's like, we figured it out.
Mm.
You know. But, yeah, nobody wants to hear that. Like the last time you were, you know, that your child was happy was before you were really fighting with, you know, your ex. That, if I
right.
have any regrets, I regret that. But, you know,
but,
I don't do anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much in hindsight that if, you know, now that you've seen how the story is laid out, I'm sure there are parts if you were to map it out, oh, well, right here I could have done this, or, but that wasn't what you chose, or that even if you were aware, I don't think you would have been aware that there was another choice. You know, most
Listen,
of those.
I couldn't change a damn thing. I
right,
could not change.
Right.
I could not change a damn thing, and I was on a quest for peace. You know, because I'll tell you, if I was still married, I'd be like living with my mom right now. During Corona,
yeah.
I'd be living with my mom. Yeah. There's no way. There's no, it would have been, oh my God, like, thank, I can't even imagine people that, you know, their relationships were on thin ice, and then it's Corona. The divorce lawyers are doing great. They're in business.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know what I would have done. Oh, my God. I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah.
So it's like the stage is set, you know? Like, I can deal with this today because the stage is set and I'm not pulled in 500 directions like I normally am.
Right.
I can accommodate this lovingly. And, you know, it's so interesting. When I was up, you know, late, you know, starting my initial research, and there was a part of me that, you know, yes, my heart aches for my son, and as a mother, it's that primal urge, like, you know, eat this, I'm not going to eat it. You know what I mean? Like, you put everybody before you. But then there was another part of my brain that was saying, you know what? A lot of people would not have signed up for this. A lot of people would not have consciously said, yes, I'll adopt a black male newborn. A lot of people would not sign up for that.
Right.
What I've learned and what I've experienced from that has been fascinating and incomparable. And now on this quest to try to find his biological family, I'm fascinated.
Yeah.
You know, I'm learning. So any and all leads as to how to do this, please let a girl know. I'm fascinated because it's way better than, you know, making sourdough bread all day and you know, having Zoom cocktail parties. So I'm making the most out of this time to explore and grow and heal and be the best mother that I know that I can. And
right.
to, you know, improve upon that for as long as I can. So, there's a part of me that's kind of detached in a very objective way, like, okay, this is fascinating. And my hope is that my son, because it's so tough when you're a teenager, under the best of circumstances, and my heart really aches for him, and my hope is that the peace comes to him, or a wholeness, or a calmness, or just something for him to anchor, even while I'm doing this on his behalf, that he just feels a sense of love. And, you know, it's so easy for any of us, especially when you're a teenager, just to go into that chasm of despair.
Right.
So that's where my heart is most concerned. is that if he can just hold on. But at least he knows that I'm dedicated and that I'm really hearing
yeah.
this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's deep.
Well.
And there you have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But embrace the energies that come in, people, because they're there to help you deal with, you know, whatever lies ahead.
So yeah.
Boy, if that's anything that I've learned over the last, you know, almost 16 years. Pay attention. Roll with it. Yeah. So.
Oh,
yeah.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Hello? Did you lose me? Alisa? Okay. So I don't know what to do. I'm going to sign off, and hopefully you guys can hear me, because I don't know if her phone cut out or it's me. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, you can email loablend@gmail.com, and we are scheduled to be on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m.